In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, I sit out there most Sundays, and so if you can't hear me, I want you to raise your hand. Okay? I'm going to use my old teacher voice and playground voice, so hopefully you'll hear me. And hopefully when you hear me, you'll get what I'm saying. Yesterday, I was in Washington, D.C., at the Washington National Cathedral, where my youngest son, Matthew, was wed to his fiancée, Dawn. And they were in the choir area, which back in D.C. is the size of, 220 people could sit there. It's big. And the space to the altar was a good distance. And Dawn, the bride, had to walk almost two football fields to get up there. And they're the most happy, in love couple. It was so nice to see. But my son asked me if I would do the homily for the wedding, which was challenging when you're offering a homily for your own kid, his future bride. And I thought long and hard, and I fell on the words that I think would be great to start most services. Dearly beloved, we are gathered together in the presence of God to witness and bless the joining together of heaven and earth. That's what we do here every single Sunday. We witness and we bless the joining together of heaven and earth. That's a pretty spectacular thing. And I asked the people in the congregation at the wedding, when did you get the invitation to show up at this wedding? And I said, I'm not talking about the one you got in the mail or email or whatever it was you got. I'm talking about the day you met either Matt or Dawn, that led you to be here today. And I would ask the same question of you. Do you remember when you got the invitation to be here today? And I remember when I got the invitation, it was 71 years ago, and I still remember. And my mom had gone to a PTA meeting at Valley Vista here in Hermosa, and Mr. Parker, was the reverend here at St. Cross. And my mom loved the invocation that he gave. And the next Sunday, I was sitting right there. I'd never seen anything quite like it. The beauty, the grace. The last time I'd been in church was in Coffeyville, Kansas, and I sat somewhere in the back by my friend Bob Bjornley. Hey, Bob. And when the adult stood up, I couldn't see anything except, their butts. And I didn't really go to church much in Kansas, but once I sat in that pew and I saw the beauty of holiness. I don't know how an 8-year-old figures that out. It was sort of intuitive. And I just kept coming back. And I imagine each and every one of you has had a moment. You may not remember it, but if you're here today, the invitation was sent. To witness is to see. It's to hear, it's to understand the best you can, and sometimes that's really hard. To stand up and say, I believe that. Here is my testimony. You just heard part of mine. What got me here? To see, to hear, and to intuit what God is saying to you or me. Or us. It is the beginning of allowing ourselves to join into the unity of the Holy Trinity. We are joined together in the power of God's love, and we witness that love in one another. And I never fail to appreciate the scene as communion is being distributed when we come out of these pews and walk forward together. We go as individuals, we return to our seats as the body of Christ. Now you may ask, what's this have to do with the reading from the gospel? Because that's what I'm going to talk about. The lady comes into church and she's like this. Now if I was preaching, you couldn't hear me. If I was preaching and I couldn't stand up straight, I'd be looking at my feet and dirt and flooring for 18 years long. Maybe had a memory of what she saw before she was afflicted, as Jesus says, by Satan. And when Jesus talks about Satan, he's talking about the way human beings treat other human beings. We aren't very nice sometimes. The reading from Isaiah, which we didn't read, kind of gives you an idea of Jesus' mission in the midst of what is a terribly painful place to live on planet Earth. Isaiah wrote of his generation, and I suggest to you, perhaps ours, if you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. Wow. Did he nail the 21st century or what? Probably a little harder back then because they didn't have mass communications. You can really do some damage to people on the internet. Jesus sees this woman, and the word for Jesus to see is very significant. It's what we do, right? If we're witnesses, we got to see. He sees the woman. She's probably standing in the back. Now imagine that. Can't raise up. Okay? And he calls her. Now what's he doing at the beginning? What's he doing? Why is he in the synagogue? He's teaching. Do you know what he said? Nope, we don't hear what he said. But the last time he preached in Luke's gospel, he was in his hometown of Nazareth, and he also read from Isaiah, and it read something like, I'm here to loose the bonds that we are bound by. And he finished with the reading, and normally you sit down and have a commentary on what you've just read. He closed the book, and he sat down and didn't say a word. Other than this day, this scripture has been fulfilled. It was the beginning of a new world, a new life. And those who were there witnessed it. And at first, they liked it. This was his hometown. It's like me. This is my hometown. Now, I might say something, and you may run me out of the church here. Some said, he's really good. And then one person said, isn't that Joseph's son? And with that, they decided they didn't really like what he had to say because he suggested that God was the God of everyone, not just Jews, not just Christians, not just Muslims, the God of all creation and all of us who are members thereof. What a great gift that they got to witness. Unfortunately, they missed the part about blessing. what we're a part of here is witnessing, blessing. We bless one another, and in the blessing of one another and everyone beyond this church, the blessing comes to us. Jesus' invitation to the woman was to stand up. And when she stood up, she wasn't looking at feet anymore. She was looking at faces, the face of Jesus and the face of everybody in that community. First time in 18 years, she could see you. What a gift. You know, when you're watching those Charlie Brown movies and Charlie's not feeling real good and he's kind of down and he's feeling a bit of shame, how does he carry himself? I can hear. Head's down. His head's down. The first thing this woman does when she raises up her head and she looks out and she sees people is she begins to praise God. And everybody in that congregation rejoiced at her healing. And it got to be a little disruptive. And the head of the synagogue, bless his heart, was trying to get order. Okay? And he says, not to Jesus, not to the woman, but to the congregation, hey, this is not the day you come here to get healed. This is the Sabbath. You can come back six other days, not today. And Jesus says to him, you know what? There is an extension of that Sabbath day commandment that says if your ox or your donkey is tied up and needs to get water, on the Sabbath you may untie them and take them and have them eat or drink. How much more should not this daughter of Abraham be given that kind of gift and treatment on the Sabbath? Jesus has said other times, the Sabbath was not made for God. The Sabbath was made for humanity. The rest. This woman was given rest from an affliction that had been bothering her for 18 years. And you have heard in your hearing, you may witness to that. There is a name for God, El Roi, which means God sees me. That woman can claim Jesus was El Roi for her. And for an 8-year-old sitting in that pew, God saw me. For each and every one of you sitting where you are today, El Roi, God sees you. God sees you to be God's witness. God sees you to be God's blessing in the world. God sees you to become the body and blood of Christ to your brothers and sisters who aren't here today. Can you imagine a better gift on a Sabbath than to be the body of Christ? Amen.